Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate that song and these guys working that up and coming up and singing. I always enjoy young men standing up to sing. Not only do they sing well, they look sharp. I like that. Appreciate you being here tonight. Let's take our Bibles, if you would, church. Turn with me, if you would, to a couple of passages of Scripture. John 12, and then the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and then 1 John, chapter number 2. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, we're going to read one verse in verse number 35. And then we're going to read a verse out of 1 John, chapter 2. Now, while you're turning there, on Wednesday nights, our studies have been in the area of the Savior and His sheep. Now, last week, we covered an area of the grooming process. We're going to continue on this week talking about another area of grooming. That word groom means to clean. It means to maintain the appearance of. It means to get into readiness for a specific objective. You see, God did more than just save us. He saved us not to sit. He saved us to serve for a purpose. And there's a grooming process that we go through to reach our fullest potential as a Christian. I'm convinced, church, that a lot of people will get born again and they'll die in infancy in their Christian life, never having reached their potential for Jesus Christ, because they've never gone through the grooming and feeding process that we've talked about. So let's take our Bibles, John 12. Would you stand with me, please? Jesus speaking here in verse 35 says, the Scripture says, "Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you," speaking of Himself. Now, I want you to notice this next word, because that's going to be kind of our theme word for tonight, kind of our key word. He said, "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth." Now, here's what Jesus said. He says, while I'm here, it's probably in your best interest to walk with me. It's probably in your best interest to talk with me and to learn from me, because he said the light will not always be here with you. So it's in our best interest, church, that while we have an opportunity to walk with God, because after death, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's coming a day, not just a judgment for the unsaved, but there's coming a day of judgment for the saved as well. And you know what? When you look at the Scripture, you look about the judgment seat, did you realize that most of the judgment that's going to come on the believer will be based upon our walk and how we walked with God and how we served God in that walk. Now, take your Bible, if you would, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he," Jesus, "walked." Now, I want you to notice it said, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk." Now, Jesus was very plain when he spoke to the Pharisees. He says, "Now, you look like you walk the right walk." But he says, "By their fruits you shall know them." And see, people know who we are by our walk. It doesn't take long for our vocabulary to change when our walk with God is not right. It does not take long for our outward appearance to change when our walk with God is not right. And church, I want to speak to you tonight, once again, on the saving of sheep, the grooming process. And tonight, last week, we talked about docking. Remember? Cutting the tail. Now, some of you, I got the gross part out. Right? So that's a gross. So tonight, we're going to talk about another grooming procedure that sheep go through, and it's called hoof trimming. Now, if you've never gone through or seen that done, this won't be gross tonight. But it's necessary, listen to me now, in order for the sheep to stay upright. When there's not this type of grooming process that takes place, most sheep can't stay upright, because many times disease and infection set in and it hinders their walk. Not just the walk of a sheep, but also the walk of a Christian if we're not right in these areas. Father, bless now the short time that we have. We open the Bible tonight, ask you to teach us now. In the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Now, as I mentioned in our last lesson, we learned the importance of docking the tail in order to avoid the accumulation of waste that's being removed by the sheep. And we talked about and made the the correlation there that the Holy Spirit is trying to remove some things out of our life, but we seem to want to hang on to some things. He's trying to clean us out for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's trying to make us and conform us into the image of His Son. Now, the spiritual application that was made last week is that many times we want to hold on to some of the old ways. Now, folks, in our Christian life, the Scripture is very plain. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so we're to be looking toward the things of God and the new things, not trying to hang on to the old things that God saved us out of. You see, the Holy Spirit is in the constant process of conforming us, listen now, and grooming us into be what God designed us to be. God has a special will for each of us, and many times it's going to require some grooming. It's going to require some knocking off of the rusty edges that need to be taking place. Well, we're going to learn tonight that another process that the farmer and the shepherd must allow his sheep to go through and must care for them is in the area of hoof trimming. Now, this procedure is not a difficult procedure, and it's not a complicated procedure unless the farmer neglects the procedure. Then it becomes a huge issue. Now, church, listen to me. In our Christian life, the walk with God, it doesn't become an issue unless you neglect the issue, unless you neglect your walk with God. And then it leads from one complication to the next, to the next, to the next. So basically, tonight, I want to speak to you about your walk with God. And as a sheep, about staying upright. Well, hoof trimming is an essential part of the grooming process in order to keep sheep upright on their feet without complications that could hinder them and their ability to walk. Now, church, listen very carefully. Without regular attention to the sheep's walk, many times neglect brings them to a place to where they become lame or they become diseased in their feet, which renders them motionless in their operation. Now, the thing about it is, you say, preacher, where are we going with this? Folks, do you realize that the main problem that we have as a Christian is our walk with God? Is maintaining a steady walk with Almighty God. And by the way, I find out that the proper walk with God is defined by the Bible, not defined by me. It's not defined on what I think a proper walk is. Listen, folks, if it depended on us tonight, if the world depended on our prayer life tonight, would God save the world depending on our prayer life? Would God spare the world depending on our walk with God and our relationship? Can I say that when a sheep, listen now, when a sheep is lame in its feet, it becomes an easy prey for predators. It deems itself dormant and infectious and becomes prey to the predator. Listen, you want to get on the devil's hit list real quick and you want to be a snack for Satan real quick, stop your walk with God. Or allow things to hinder your walk with God and you will become devil bait. Now, there are signs, the farmers tell us that there are signs to a farmer of a sheep that's evident that's got some type of walking problem or foot or hoof problem. There are three areas they say that's evident when you see a sheep that causes that, or that you can tell that they have hoof problems. One is when they begin to limp. And when they begin to limp, it shows that there's a problem. There's a hurt. There's a difficulty that's going on there. There's an abnormal walk or a gait or a favoring of something. You know, many times you can tell when a believer's hurting, when they're limping. When you see them begin maybe to come in late and leave early because they don't want to be around people, you know what that's a sign of? That's a sign they're limping. That's a sign that there's a hurt, there's a need. And so many times the farmers tell us that they can tell the abnormality of a sheep and they've got hoof problems is when there's a limping that they see. The second thing they say is when they watch and they notice that the sheep are laboring. Now, remember we've learned about sheep that there's one thing that a sheep does that a lot of times they can't recover from. It's called casting. It's when they fall over on their side and they can't get back up. Now, the thing about it is, if a sheep has walking problems and it falls over on its side, and the farmer helps it up, and it falls over on its side, and the farmer helps it up, and it continues to fall over its side. It's got problems, right? Listen, you know how you can tell a person is struggling with their walk with God? Is when they fall into sin, they come and get right, and they go right back into it. And then they come and get right, and they go right back into it. They keep falling over and over and over. Now, the problem is not their sincerity of wanting to get right. The problem is their walk with God has not stabilized like it needs to be. So there's limping, there's laboring, and then the third area, the farmers tell us that's obvious that there is hoof problems in sheep, is the laying down process, and they won't move. They lay down, and you can go over there and roll them over. You can kick them. You can do it, and they will not get up because, you know what? It hurts too much to walk. It hurts too much to get up. And a sheep will not get up. If they're laying there and it's a sign, we got problems. So limping, laboring, laying down, all signs that there's a walking problem, that there's a hoof problem. Now, church, tonight, what I want to do is share with you some things that I think that impair the walk of a believer. And I want to say, first of all, that there are a lot of things that impair the walk of a believer. And there's a lot of things that impair the walk of a sheep. But you know, they tell us, and I say they, our sheep friends that raise sheep, tell us that there's nothing worse that hinders the walk of a sheep than something called foot rot. You say, preacher, I thought you weren't going to get gross. Now, I'm not going to get gross. You see, foot rot's caused by unsanitary conditions. It's caused by walking in filth. It's caused by miry clay, moist conditions. It's caused by putting yourself in a situation that's going to cause the problem. Now, obviously, sheep can't trim their own hoof. So what happens is all of the decay, all of the waste, all of the mud and the mire get up in their hooves and it begins to decay. And it forms a bacteria that gets transferred to the soil. Now listen to me. And if a sheep gets foot rot, it can transfer the foot rot to the whole flock. Because we learned one thing we learned about sheep, they love to group. They love to flock up together. Now, you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. A person whose walk with God is not what it needs to be can infect everybody else. Everybody they're around, they can infect their speech. They can infect their ideas, their standards of living, their stand on the Word of God, their service for God. An infected sheep can infect the whole flock. All of them. Now, since sheep are such group-oriented creatures, it doesn't take long for an infected sheep to spread foot rot to the whole flock. Now, I want you to listen. And if that happens, then what you have is you have a flock of immobile and unmovable sheep. They're either limping, they're either causing themselves to lay down and refuse to get up. That's usually a sign that we got walk problems. That's usually a sign that our walk with God is not what it needs to be. Now, a couple of things I want you to think about real quick. First of all, some sheep are more susceptible to this than others. Some sheep are more susceptible to this than others. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to me. We have a large group of our people that work in the secular world. You become very susceptible to foot rot. You become very susceptible, and your walk with God can be compromised very easily when you work out in the world, because many of you in here tonight do not work around an office full of Christian people. You do not work around people who are speaking about the goodness of God, the glory of God. They're not singing Amazing Grace where you work. They're singing other things, but it's not that. They're singing amazing something, but it ain't Amazing Grace. Now listen to me, and you have to hear that and put up with that all day long, and many of you 6 days a week you have to put up with that. Now you listen to this preacher. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help you. You become very susceptible in your walk with God. Because that will pound on you and pound on you and pound on you. You must have a secure, strong work with God. Some sheep are more susceptible than others. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Do you know our farmer friends tell us that sheep who are raised on a firm, solid, rocky soil almost never get foot rot? Only those who walk in unsanitary conditions and miry clay, moist conditions. Normally get it. You say, wait a minute, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about that if you walk on the rock of Jesus Christ, you're probably not going to have a problem with foot rot. With a walk with God. Because that's where you build the walk with God. Is you build it in your prayer closet. You see, some sheep are more susceptible than others. Listen carefully. It's much easier to prevent this type of thing happening than to eradicate it. You see, here's what happens. We get out of kilters with God. And we want to come and we want everything to get back in order in one service. And we wonder how when we come to the altar, we say, well, I came and prayed. I came and cried. I came and begged God. And it just seemed like, preacher, I went home and hardly nothing changed. Well, let me ask you this. Did you get in that condition overnight? Then you're probably not going to get out of it overnight. It's going to take some time. Listen, it takes time to develop a relationship with God. It takes time to get to know God on an intimate basis. That's the reason we need more church. We need more of the Word of God. You see, it's much easier to prevent this type of thing happening than to eradicate it. Now, I want you to listen. Once foot rot is detected in sheep, it's a very long process, listen to me, and a very expensive process to the farmer. Because once it spreads, there's a price to be paid. It gets very, very expensive. So it's better to prevent it than for the flock to be infected than you try to eradicate it. Now, here's the third thing I want you to think about. Sheep who do not respond to proper trimming and care must be culled from the flock. Did you hear what I said? I said, sheep that come and the preacher tries to help them. The preacher tries to help them through their struggles or help them through their problems. And they refuse to receive the counsel. Then they have to be removed from their place of leadership. They have to be culled. Because listen to me, I can't have a teacher in place that's not walking with God because you're going to infect the Sunday school class. I can't have a bus captain that's not walking with God because you're going to infect that bus. I can't have someone that's infected with foot rot and their walk with God is not working because you're going to infect all the other sheep. You see, sheep that don't respond have to be culled. You see, church, foot rot in sheep is not incurable. It's just a very lengthy and very costly process if it ever gets in. It's going to cost the church something if we don't have some standard of guidelines in which our church must be governed. You say, but preacher, what if some of these sheep don't go by the guidelines? Well, you know what? Foot rot will set in eventually, and it'll be evident because they'll start limping. Yeah, they'll start limping. They'll start laboring. Pretty soon, they'll start falling over their side and they can't get up. And they're going to need somebody to come help them get up. Somebody's going to help them up and they fall right back over. Listen, all these are signs that we got walking problems. Now, I said that, church, tonight to bring the spiritual application here that I want to bring. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Many of you, you go out in your neighborhood and you walk. Now, there's several reasons that you get around and walk. First of all, you get around and walk probably for exercise purposes, right? Because you like to exercise. You just get out and walk because you enjoy the exercise. Some of you walk for health purposes because the doctor said you better get out and walk a mile a day. And so you get out and walk. But you know, some people just walk for pleasure. They just like walking. Can I say this, folks, that in the Christian life, some of us need to walk for exercise. Some of us need to walk for health purposes. But you know what God wants you? He wants your walk to get to where it's a walk of pleasure. Not because you have to. Because you get to. Because it's a walk of pleasure. You enjoy walking with the Lord. Listen, that's the reason Jesus said, blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. You see, that's the place we ought to desire to get to where we hunger and thirst for the things of God. Well, if you got a pencil and a piece of paper, jot some things down. We're not going to be long here tonight. I want to talk to you for a moment about the proper walk of sheep. Why does the farmer go through the hoof trimming process? Because he wants to keep his sheep up on their feet. He wants to keep them upright. He wants to make sure that there's no infectious diseases. He wants to make sure that the limping doesn't come. He wants to make sure the laboring doesn't come. He wants to make sure that his sheep never get to the place to where they're in such hurt and such pain, they lay down and refuse to get up. And folks, listen, churches all across America today have got sheep that are nothing but laying in the pew. They don't want to get up because of situations and things that have happened in their lives. Now, why do we need to come to church? Why do we need the hoof trimming type process, the cleaning of our walk? Well, first of all, let me give you some scriptures. We're not going to be able to turn to all of these. But first of all, the proper walk of a sheep, we're to do it because we're to walk in truth, the Bible said. Take your Bible, John 17. Turn to John 17 just a moment. I want you to look what Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17. Jesus, in his prayer, said, sanctify them, the sheep, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So he said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. We're to walk in truth. Listen, 3 John verse 4, remember? Remember the scripture tells us there how joyful. I tell you what, turn there. You're close by. Turn there, 3 John verse 4. 3 John verse 4. Remember this? The scripture says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That folks, in order for us to walk the truth that we believe from the scriptures, we're going to have to make sure that we're up on our feet to do so. In order for that to happen, there's going to have to be a hoof trimming process to keep us upright so that we can walk in what we know to be the truth. Don't turn there. The scripture says we're to walk in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5. That means the Spirit of God is going to need to be in control. So we're to walk in truth, walk in the Spirit. 1 John 1, 7 says we're to walk in the light as He is in the light. Because folks, listen to me. Anybody watch the news? We're winding this thing down. Yeah, the light is fixing to go out as far as the gospel is concerned on a bunch of people. And if we do not walk in the light as He is in the light, so that we can continue to shine the gospel message to the world, there will be people that will never know the truth of the gospel of Christ. We're to walk in the light. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 says we're to walk honestly. Honestly. Man, I'm telling you, folks, we live in such a dishonest world. And you know, the sad thing is it's spilt over into believers. It's spilt over into people professing to be a child of God. But we're to walk honestly. According to Colossians 4, 5, we're to walk in wisdom. You say, preacher, where do I get wisdom? Right there. Wisdom's in the book. We're to be wise. Hey, listen, I have people tell me all the time. They said, listen, preacher, I'm sorry. I just don't know all the Bible. I can't practice all the Bible. I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you know some of the Bible? They said, well, I know some. I said, how about just start practicing what you do know and stop being concerned about what you don't know? Let's just start there. Because if you'll practice what you do know, eventually you'll be able to catch on and go forward and learn some of the things that you don't know. Well, we know according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, we're to walk in love. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And then, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, we're to walk in newness of life. You see, there's so much involved in the walk of sheep. Because remember we learned last week, out of all the barnyard animals, sheep, high maintenance. Very high maintenance. And we are high maintenance. Hey, can I tell you something? I'm a high maintenance preacher. I'm a high maintenance husband. I'm a high maintenance father. I'm a high maintenance everything. And if you look at your life, you're pretty high maintenance also. Yeah. And God understood this. That's the reason He said, sometimes we've got to dock the tail. Sometimes He said, you know what, I'm going to have to put you in a brace and we're going to have to clean the hoofs. We're going to have to trim the hoofs back because if we don't, you're going to get down the road, you're going to fall over your side, you're not going to get up. You're going to start limping around. Do you want to limp around the rest of your life? Or are you going to just sit in a pew and not do anything? Hey, we don't want to ever get to that place. Now, church, write these things down here real quick. We're going to look at these scriptures here. First of all, here's the purpose of a proper walk for sheep. Take your Bible, if you would, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Turn to Colossians 1 and verse number 10. Colossians 1 and verse number 10. Look with me here for just a second in Colossians 1 and verse number 10. The purpose of our walk and the reason that we need to have a proper walk, the Scripture says, so that we can walk worthy of the Lord. Look, if you would, in Colossians 1:10. Paul says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. When you walk worthy of something, you walk justly of something. You walk as an ambassador of something. You walk as a representative of something. In other words, we walk in order to please the Lord. Now, folks, listen. If we're going to walk worthy of the Lord, we need to walk worthy of His name. Hey, prior to salvation, I was a nobody. After salvation, I became a somebody. And so I carry a name. You see, the Lord's name is above every name. But I carry that name. I represent Him. And my walk is going to reflect His name, or it's not going to reflect His name. Secondly, it ought to reflect His testimony. It ought to reflect the testimony of Jesus Christ, who He was. Did not Jesus tell His disciples about how they needed to love one another, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples? In other words, we need to walk worthy of His name. We need to walk worthy of His testimony. According to the Scriptures, we need to walk worthy of His commands. God's got some pretty strict commands. Now, folks, listen. The world is watching. You know what? The goats are watching the sheep. Now, if you go to the barnyard and you got a real goat and a real sheep, that real goat will always be a goat. That sheep will always be a sheep. But when it comes to the spiritual aspect, do you know a goat can become a sheep? He can become, by the transformation of the Spirit of God, he can be transformed into a follower of the great shepherd. He can be transformed into a sheep by the power of God. You see, we're to walk worthy of the Lord. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 5. Go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse number 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Look at this. I tell you what, go to verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now look at verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You see that word circumspectly there? That's kind of a big word, but that word circumspectly is very simply just means to walk careful. In other words, walk with awareness. It's kind of like the old illustration the preacher taught. Circumspectly, the best illustration he could think of is a cat walking the fence with a Doberman on one side and a Great Dane on the other side. You know what he's going to do? He's going to walk that fence circumspectly. Aware. I cannot misstep, because if I do, I'm a dog bait. And if I fall off, that's it. Of course, if there's a cat, you know. So, but we're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk with awareness. And folks, listen, we're to walk in awareness that sin is all around you. Sin is everywhere. Sin is at your doorstep. It's everywhere. It's on your job. It's at the store. It's everywhere where you go. Sin is everywhere. We need to be aware of it. The second thing we need to be aware of is that Satan has snares and devices that are set just for you. And you need to be aware of it. Now listen, folks, you realize people who walk with God understand how to walk circumspectly. That's the reason sometimes you'll catch Christians talking to themselves. But they're not really talking to themselves. They're talking to the devil. You say, like what, preacher? Like, you didn't get me that time. I got you pegged that time. No. You're not going to tip me on that, because that's what you tried last week. You say, preacher, is there something wrong with people like that? No, I'd rather somebody talk out loud and recognize their devices than not to have a walk with God and get sucked in. I'd rather them do that. You see, we need to walk circumspectly. We need to be aware that sin's all around us. We need to be aware that Satan's snares and devices are everywhere. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse 16. Let me give you a third one here. Philippians 3, 16. I said the purpose of a proper walk with sheep, we've got to walk worthy. A walk with God will cause us to walk worthy of the Lord, cause us to walk circumspectly. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 16. Look at this. Paul says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained. Look at what he says right here. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Did you see that underline that? He said, let us walk by the same rule. Folks, we only have one rule book, and you got it in your hand. There's not 244 different rule books. There's one rule book, okay? And that rule book contains everything that you and I need to know about the Christian life, about how to walk, about what God desires, and how to have an effective walk with God. We need to walk by the rules. By the way, when we get to heaven, the judgment seat, you know you're going to be judged according to the rules? You're going to be judged on whether or not we fulfilled the rules. So think about this. We need to walk worthy. We need to walk circumspectly. We need to walk according to the rules. And we'll show you one last one. Turn to Psalm 23. I mentioned this last week, but I want to mention it again in reference to this one last thing about having a walk with God. And that's this. People who have a walk with God will walk worthy. They'll walk circumspectly. They'll walk according to the rules. But they'll also, listen now, they'll also know how to walk with God in their day of adversity. I want you to look what the psalmist said right here. Yea, verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I want you to look what he says. He said, I will fear no evil. Now wait a minute. Sheep are afraid of everything. So how can a sheep walk through a valley of darkness, of adversity, and not be afraid when they're afraid of their own shadow? Because look what else he said. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, there's the answer right there of how that when you face your day of adversity, you won't jump ship on God. You see, I have people all the time say, preacher, how does a person deal with adversity? How do they deal with tragedy? How do they deal with situation? I'll tell you how they deal with it. They deal with it based on their walk with God. That's how they deal with it. People struggle with circumstances and situations of adversity that don't have a strong walk with God. Believers that have a strong walk with God tend to deal with adversity much better. Because, listen, they know that in their hour of adversity that God already knew everything before it ever happened. And somehow in His divine providence, He allowed them to go through this. You see, how can sheep walk through such a valley of a shadow of death and fear no evil? I'll tell you why. Because they understand a walk with God. Now, folks, tonight, I just wanted to say that, you know, part of the grooming process is making sure the sheep stay upright, making sure the sheep stay on their feet, making sure the hoof trimming process is there. You see, when we come to church sometimes, I don't want you to get a vision of docking the tail or trimming the hoof. But that's basically what we're doing. That's basically what's going on. Because when we come to church, there's some things that need to be filed down. There's some things that we need to take a look at and examine. Because listen, we don't want to fall over on our side and not get up. We want to go around the rest of our Christian life limping. We don't want to go around laboring. We don't want to get to a place to where we just come to church and sit all the time and never serve. Because all of those things are signs of a walk with God that's laboring and limping through the Christian life. And I don't know about you, I don't want to ever get there, do you? I don't want to ever reach a place in my Christian life where I just said, you know what, I limped into heaven. I don't want to get in my Christian life to where I labored my way into heaven, or that I went to heaven from a pew having done nothing for the last 10 years of my Christian life. You know how you can avoid that? It's a hoof trimming. It's your walk with God. Would you bow your heads for just a moment, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm saved No question about it. Just slip your hand, wet pie, say, that's me. I'm saved.